About a sugya of tinoikoy shel beis rabban. In this week's parasha, it says, "Binoreinu uviskeinenu neilech ki chag laHashem lanu." Paro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "I'm only going to send out the adults. I'm not going to send out the children." Moshe Rabbeinu says, "You don't understand. Klal Yisrael's future lies in the children." Binoreinu uviskeinenu neilech ki chag laHashem lanu. So, what exactly is the maila of the tinoikoy shel beis rabban? In this sefer, Rav Dvorkis, he has a very beautiful chapter on the sugya, the milos, different matters relating to the sugya. Chazal tell us, Amar Esh Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesia Ein Olam Miskayim. The entire world only exists. Ella B'Shvil Hevel Tinoikoy Shel Beis Rabba. The Hevel, the pure breath of the Tinoikoy Shel Beis Rabban. Send Amar Rapapa Labaye. Rapapa and Abaye are probably the two most famous people in Shas. Okay, Rapapa, every other daf of Rapapa, at the end of every Masech, to make a sim, you say all the 10 sons of Rapapa, Abaye, the Havayos, the Abaye of Arava, probably the two most famous people in Shas, Rapapa and Abaye. So Rapapa says to Abaye, really? In kindergarten, they're teaching the children Aleph, Beis, Veis, Gimel. You know, these kids, they know a lot more than me. I had a whole fight, a whole discussion with a little child, asking him, what comes first, the bays or the vase? So I was doing it wrong. He taught me that first comes the bays, the bays, then the vase.
Absolutely.
Right? He insisted. A little teeny kid. And he's teaching me the aleph bays. Does the bays come first or the vase? The one with the dot, without the dot. Then we had another heated discussion. Is it sadi or tzaddik? And then, how do you pronounce the? Is it the mem soifis or the end of mem? All these kids are telling me. They're telling me, you I'm aretz. You don't know nothing. They're teaching me the aleph bays. They know it a lot better than me. Then they can even rattle it off backwards. I can't rattle off backwards. So I have to think. They can do. Some of them can do it naturally. So they know very well. But this the hevel tinoikoy shel beis rabban. And then you go into the other room and they're learning Ktsois and the Sivus, they're learning Shev Shmaitza, the heavy duty Sugis. Who's better? Who's better? So Abaye says, look, Shas, you know, you see my Shas. See my Shas. Abaye and her Papa. Alba Papa, Marba Papa. By the see my Shas, they spoke about Abaye. Amar Abaye. Tasili. Ki Chazino, Sirman Abonim, the Shalom, the Messiah Mesechta, Avidna Yomotabu Rabonim. The whole Siyam HaShas was built upon the memory of Abaye. And at the Siyam HaShas, they said the Hadron, which mentions Rav Papa's 10 sons. So the Siyam HaShas of 100,000 people was all built on the foundation of Rav Papa and Abaye. Abaye is the one that taught us this concept that when you finish the Masechta, you're supposed to make it into a Yom Tov. Amar Abaye, tasteily, may I be rewarded. Why? Ki chazina, when I see a tzur b'merabanan, the shalom mesechta, when I see a young Talmud Chacha make a mesayim a mesechta, avidna, yom atav olirabanan. That's the makar for a siyam. And what do they say by the siyam? Abba bar papa, mori bar papa, surcha bar papa, abba mori bar papa, and then jay shan steam. Yiskadalvi yiskadash shnei rabo. And then it's a big party. We then go to the American dream. We go skiing. It's a big party. So we have.
Put a ski there.
Whoever said the Torah is not compatible with a life with the American dream? Whoever said that? You can't live the American dream and at the same time live a life of Torah. I finished Shas, and I went afterwards to the American dream. You don't understand? The American dream is connected to MetLife Stadium.
How many
the biggest mall. It's the biggest mall in America. It is unbelievable. My ride insisted that we got to take a tour of the American Dream Mall after the Siyam HaShas. So we went from being Mesayim Shas to the American Dream. Boy, the American Dream is quite a place. Yeah, you should go visit. It's an ice skating ring. There's a water park, an amusement park, indoor skiing. You never saw this your whole life, such a thing. Indoor skiing, like the Olympics, like a mountain. Unbelievable. Any event, going in the mall, any event, I already wasted all time. Any event. And so what is it? Rav Papa and Abaye said, so what about Didi Vidach Mai, Amalei? So Abaye said, Ain, these are the key words. These words are very, very powerful words. Ain Adoime Hevel Sheyesh Boichet Lehevel Sheyain Boichet. These words, Ois Kedai Techazer, these words. A child, even though he may, his sophistication may be very, very minimal, very weak, negligible relative to the greatness of the big Talmidei Chacham who know Kol Torah Kula, yet there is no sin in the Hevel Tinoikoi Shel Beis Rabban. It's Tohar. The bigger the adults, the older you are, think about it, the older you are, the more Chatoim you have, the more opportunities.
Being corrupted by the environment.
Yeah, that's how it is. Rav Steinman Zeichel Levracha says being a zaken is not necessarily a good thing. He says because Hashem gave me, let's say, 30 years more than the average person. That means I have to stand din v'cheshbon for 30 more years. The average person who died 30 years before, all my friends, they died 30 years ago. So their din v'cheshbon ends when their life ended. I have to give din v'cheshbon for all of the averos that I've done for another 30 years. You know what that means? And it adds up. Living in the environment, being affected, is that even though you're learning Torah, the Torah is mingled with hevel shel chet. I'm not making this up. Abaye said this. The hevel, the older you are, the more hevel shel chet is mixed into your words. I told this many times. I used to think when I was a child, you go to a wedding, who do they give the edim to? Who do they give the witnesses? So they call up Rosh Yeshiva. They would always call up Chashuvim, very big Talmidei Chachamim, people of stature, renown, Mechubed, this Rosh Yeshiva, this Rav, to be the Edei Kedushin. Because to be an aid kedushin, you have to be a holy. That's the most important thing. It doesn't make a difference to get a bracha. You can make a bracha. Who cares? But to be a witness, you have to be a kosher witness. Then I got a little older and I went to a wedding, and they gave a guy. They gave one of the chassan's friends, an 18-year-old kid. He called up to be the witness. I was horrified. That's what you give to be the aid kedushin? An 18-year-old kid? I'm used to going to weddings where you give Eidei Kedushin to Rosh Yeshiva, Talmidei Chachamim. People understand what it means to be a witness. You give it to an 18-year-old kid. Now, you know, when I go to a wedding and they give it to an 18-year-old kid, I'm very happy. When they give it to an adult, someone that's I'm not so happy. You know why? Because someone who's 80 years old, there are a lot of averos they could have done by the time they're 80 years old. They you do a lot of mitzvahs. I know I've told you once or many times, there's a Rosh Kollel, a very choshiva Rosh Kollel, Rosh Yeshiva. He refuses to be a witness. He'll do anything under a chuppah, but not a witness. Why? He says, I give out a lot of money. I collect money, and I give out money. I have many kollelim. And I do a lot of fundraising. That's what I do the whole day, just fundraising and giving out the money. It's inevitable that I'm taking money from someone who doesn't really want to give money. I'm giving it to someone who doesn't deserve the money on both ends. I'm taking money from people who don't want to give, and I'm giving it to people who don't deserve. And you know what that is? That's called gezel. And the one thing that disqualifies a person from being a witness is a ganav. Mm-hmm. So if there's anyone in this room that should not be the witness, but he was honest, and he says, if there's anyone here that should not be the witness, it's me. Because I'll be the Masadeh, I'll take the covet. You want to give me Siddur Kedushin, I'll be the first one to jump in, I mean Masadeh Kedushin. You want to give me a bracha, I'll take a bracha. But don't make me a witness. I can't live with myself. I don't want to, he's a good guy. The guy is solid, solid rock. The guy is as good as can possibly be. But he says, that's what I do. I do fundraising. I go and I twist people's arms to give me to collect money. And I give out the money to people that I think need the money. And it turns out, how many times do I discover later on? I gave this guy a kollel check. How many times did he show up? had the people, the sponsors, know that he doesn't show up, they want to give the money to him. And even the person who gives me the money, does he really want to give me the money? Many times he's embarrassed. He's embarrassed when he's giving the money. He's coerced to give the money. That's not the way to take money. I feel like I'm a ganav. I have no choice. This is my profession. Don't make me the witness. An 18-year-old kid, what already did he do? What did he do already in life? What could he have done that he's posel le'edus when you're 18 years old? So take that concept and apply it to a child. A child who learns the Aleph Beis, it's hevel tinoikos shel beis rabon beloy chet. Their learning is infinitely greater than the sophisticated learning, because there's no mixture, it's pure. Okay, now there's a lot of halachas that apply to this concept. For example, money for when you collect, when there's a halacha that money that is designated, what should you raise money if you only have a limited amount of money? Should you use the money to have a hire a rabbi, or for a cheder, for hire a teacher? Of course, it goes without saying, a melame tinoikos shel beis rabban comes before anything else, before a rabbi, even according to many, before a mikvah. What are the women going to do if there's no mikvah? I don't know. It's a big problem. What? What does that mean until now? But the money being raised to teach Tinoikos Shel Beis Rabban has priority. Rapam would always tell people who have big money to give to tzedakah, before you give money to create a new organization, to do very good things, they're very nice things you can give money to. There's no shortage of needs. If you open up the newspaper, there's no shortage of organizations that do incredible things. But your primary obligation of tzedakah goes for the major moistos institutions of elementary schools. You have these yeshivas, whether you like them or you don't like them, you have a community. So in this community, how many major yeshivas are there in Flatbush? Whatever you count on, whatever, 5, 10. A person has been blessed with wealth, and you have money just to give away, your first duty is to give money to the major yeshivas. Don't give to my yeshiva, give to a yeshiva. It's a chazal. Tashpar, tinoikos shel beis rabban, Jewish education, grassroots, elementary school, is the first priority a person has. After you've given a significant amount of money to a yeshiva that you can deal with it, you can accept, you can tolerate, then you have some leftover money and you want to have some fun and make a chesed organization to do some nice things for Klal Yisrael, go right ahead. But all of the chesed organizations should not hear that a yeshiva is struggling to pay the first grade Rebbe his check on time, and at the same time, there's an organization that has money to burn that does outrageous things. These very, very nice, very nice, very chashuva things. Really, this yeshiva is a major yeshiva. They have all the classes are filled. They're all filled. And they can't pay the first grade Rebbe. They can't pay the Rebbeim on time. And yet, this other organization, they're going and they're I'm not going to give you examples what they're wasting money on. What's going on over here? How did that organization get so much money? Where did all that money come from? I have donors. Those donors, okay, it's none of no one's business, but if those donors, if you're willing to just give away your money, don't you feel that the first obligation is to support the local institutions of Tashpar, that the elementary schools, even the high schools, the basic education, today, high school is the new elementary school. Okay, just the basic foundation of education has to be taken care of before you come to other things. And this is all the Paiskim they discuss in very great detail. Okay, a few quick things. Haman, in the story of Haman and Purim coming up not so far ahead,
right.
Chazal say that Haman was obsessed with the children.
Right.
Okay, it says there, he actually counted the Gemara, Shabbos, that he counted the students. There were 22,000 students. 22,000 Tinoka Shol Beis Rabban, and Haman went out of his way to make sure they could not learn. Everything he possibly can do to make sure, because Haman, even Haman knew that the future Klal Yisrael lies in the success of the Tinoikos Shel Beis Rabban.
He gathered them together, they were Mordechai's and he said, I'll kill all of these first in front of you.
He terrorized the children. He brings here over here an incredible story, two incredible stories. One I told you once, I'll tell you one is new to me. The certain very Choshva Gadol, he went every single, it's a true story, every single day his whole life he went to mikvah. Mm-hmm. Every day his life, that was his custom. He wakes up in the morning, he goes to mikvah. He got older, he was a zakein, and the family told, they went to a doctor, and the doctor said to him, enough, it's sakonis nefashis. If you go to mikvah, whatever the conditions were, you cannot go to mikvah anymore, you have to stop. So what did he do? Every day, instead of going to mikvah, he went to the local elementary school. He went into the first grade while they was teaching them, and he sat there for 10 minutes. And he said, this is my mikvah. To go into a first grade, the Malame Tinoiko Shel Beis Rabban, the Hevel Tinoiko Shel Beis, this is equivalent to immersing in a mikvah. Is that a powerful story? His whole life he went to mikvah, and now they said, you can't go. So I can't go, I can't just not go to a mikvah. I have to go to a mikvah. This will be the next best thing. To sit and watch the Rebbe teach Tinoiko Shel Beis Rabban Torah, the Hevel Tinoiko Shel Beis Rabban is Noki Mechait. There's no greater Makom of Tahara. What? Tahara. There's no greater environment than Tahara than to be in this Makom with these children to watch them learn Torah. Incredible insight. Another story I told you many times, I enjoy this story very, very much, is where they were two, they say this about different Gedolim. I see over here they have a different Gadol than I heard the story about. But it doesn't really matter who the Gadol was. The story was as you know, that there's a bus driver and there's a monitor. In the Hasidic Yeshivas and Eretz Yisrael, the Rebbe is usually the bus driver. The Rebbe picks, in Bar Kappa it's very common. The Rebbe has a license, and he's the bus driver. He takes the kids, he picks the kids up, and he parks the bus, and he teaches the class. And then when the class is over, he gets the bus, and he takes the kids home. And Eretz Yisrael, it's like that. It's very common. And in the Hasidic Yeshivas here, in Satmar, I know for sure it's like that. So in addition to the bus driver, for very little children, they hire also what's called a monitor, which means the Rebbe drives the bus, but there has to be a person that basically, little kids, picks the kids, supervise the kids. Sometimes the kids are so small, you actually pick the kids up, and you take them onto the bus, and you put them in the seat, and you buckle them down, v'chulu v'chulu. So there was a Rebbe who was the bus driver, and there was a monitor. And then there was a disagreement between the monitor, it's a true story, and the Rebbe, whose job is it to open the door? Okay, to open the door, it's a lot of work. You know, some of these doors, you have to open the door. Whatever it is, who has the job? I'm being paid a certain amount of money to drive the bus. I also have to go open the door? The monitor, you do that. You open the door. The monitor says, my job is just to take the kids on the bus, off the bus, put them in there, buckle them down. I don't have to also go in and open and close the door every time the bus stops. So they went to a Din Torah. Would you believe this? They went to the Rav. I heard this, so they went to Rabbi Yashiv. Either Rabbi Yashiv or Shlomo Zalman, he writes that they went to Abba Shol. That's the area. They went to a Din Torah. So the Rav said to them, let me ask you a question. If it was Psicha for Ne'ilah, would both of you be fighting about who gets, who would both of you coming to fight? I don't want to do it. Let him do it. And the other one, no, let him do it. Both of you would be fighting who is Zoiche to get Ne'ilah. Is that correct? He asked them, would each one of you like for free? For free. Would each one of you like for free to have Psicha for Ne'ilah? So they said, yeah, let's say this competition, there's someone else who wants to do Psicha for Ne'ilah. Would you be willing to bid? would you be willing to be makabel upon yourself, either to give money or to do a community service, to have the zechus to do psicha? Yeah. How about you? Yeah, I would pay a few dollars, or I would do a community service to have the zechus. So he said, opening the door for a child to come on the bus is greater than psicha for ne'ilah. This is a living Sefer Torah. This is a child that's going to learn the Hevel Tinoiko Shel Beis Rabban. This is even a bigger zchus. And now they had another Din Torah. Now they had a Din Torah. Who's going to be the one? Who's going to be the one that's going to open the door? You know, in this neighborhood, it's very sad. You know, it's the biggest chum of this neighborhood now. Is that this neighborhood is unfortunately a lot of people are moving away. So is it so bad? A lot of people are moving away. A lot of the shuls are half empty. Over the last couple of years, I'm sure you all noticed that Flatbush has taken a hit, and people are leaving.
Young people can't afford to buy.
People is a mass exodus. I don't know if they can afford. They can't afford there either. They can't afford here, and they can't afford there either. They can't. You make a cheshbon. A lot of people will tell you make a cheshbon. It's just the same. You can't afford not here or not there. Their friends are there. The trend is you go where your friends are not here. So what's the chorban? If you ask the average person, what's the chorban? The chorban is the shuls are half empty. We spent so much money building up this neighborhood over the last 30 years. So much, millions and millions of dollars have been invested in the infrastructure of all of the institutions and the buildings and the mikvahs and the stores and developing a relationship with the government, services. There's been so much been put into this neighborhood, and now no one's using it. People are running away, and you know we have beautiful mikvahs, and we have beautiful shuls, and beautiful schools, and they're all hit, and they're half empty, and the shuls, there's not a shul in the whole Flatbush that's full. Every shul in Flatbush is half full. You have a simcha, maybe you'll fill it up. What?
The Kingsway, they had a security meeting, and the local police from the local prison, the commander came or whatever.
Yeah.
So they were asking. Maybe it helped to police. He said in his precinct is 8 churches and 81 schools.
Yeah, but the 81 schools are half empty.
That's what he says. He says all of them full.
No.
Says all of them need to protection. That's what this was a follow-up question.
Exactly, and they really all half full. So that's what the average person will tell you. But you know what the MS is? They're all wrong. They're all wrong. There's only one Chorban that's happening in Flatbush. The Hevel Tinoikoy Shel Beis Rabban is the biggest chus. It's the biggest shemira for the city. That you have children, little children learning Torah. And if the numbers, if the yeshivas now are struggling to fill up the classes, and there are no new schools, and schools are talking about merging, the diminishment of the sanctity of the Hevel Tinoikoy Shel Beis Rabban, that's a chorban. It's not such a chorban if the shul is half empty. Maybe you have more room. a lot of people say that it's a big bracha that there are less people for one very simple reason. Years ago, when you had a complaint about anything, you go to the rabbi, you go to the school, they said, you complaining? You complaining? Don't complain to me. There are 20 people that want your spot. You want it, you're complaining to me? Take your kid out of the yeshiva. I'll fill up this seat with another 20 with a waiting list of 20 kids who want to get into the yeshiva. You complain to the rabbi? There are 20 people that want your seat in shul. You have a complaint for your Shoni Yom Kippur? Today, believe me, no one's, when you make a complaint, they listen very, very carefully to your complaints, and they take it seriously, and they take action, and they'll follow up with you 10 times to make sure your complaint is addressed, so you don't take your child out of yeshiva and you don't leave the shul. So it's not so bad in Flatbush that there's a little room, a little breathing space. There are a lot of advantages when you appreciate it. The chorban, though, is the intensity of the loss of the Hevel Tinoikoy Shel Beis Rabban. One last part. He has a whole beautiful piece over here is that it says that the Churban only came about because the Churban came about because of the Tinoikos, the loss of the Tinoikos Shel Beis Rabban. Okay, the words of the Gemara are Bizman first, Bizman Shein Neviim. When there are no Neviim, Tashpar Bimakoimam Lohagin Al Oilam. The children, the Tashpar, they protect the world. The Lama Nimshar Nevuah, okay, that goes on. Here's Chazal. Om Rav Yehudam Borei. That's not Chazal, but Chazal said that the Churban Yerushalayim came about because of the loss of the Tinoikos Shel Beis Rabban. He says over here, their whole Shtickel Torah, that the focus is on the word Beis. Tinoikos Shel Beis Rabban. It could have just said because of the loss of Talmud Torah, the loss of children. There's an emphasis on children have to have a bias. Have to have a bias by their Rebbe. It's not enough that there is like day schools. What was the whole of day schools? It's a very powerful part in America in the beginning of the century. So you go to public school, and then on Sunday or in the afternoon, you have a Rebbe that tutors that will give you a Jewish education. You'll fill in. You'll go online. You'll listen to a couple of classes. You'll fill in. That's a churban. The Churban, the Ikar is, there should be Tinoika Shel Beis Rabban. It's not enough to supplement Lemud Echol with a tutor to teach you a class here or there. There has to be an institution, a bias. The bias changes everything. It becomes the Ikar, it becomes the central focal point. It's where all life centers around. That greatly enhances the Hevel Tinoiko Shel Beis Rabban. All right, we'll stop.
You're not going to be here next week?